I'm Steve McLeod, and this is Bootstrapped, the podcast for people running bootstrapped software companies or wanting to run one. I run two bootstrapped software products, Feature Upvote, which lets your customers vote on ideas to improve your product, and Saber Feedback, which offers a feedback widget you can add to your website. Follow along as I learn from talking to other bootstrappers and experts, and just maybe you'll learn something too. Today, I'm joined by Moritz Dassinger, founder of Refiner.io, making his second appearance on the show. Welcome again, Moritz.
Thanks a lot, Steve, for inviting me again. Really happy to be here today.
Well, you don't know exactly why I invited you on the show. Actually, I have a little bit of concern about your bootstrapper status. We'll get to that in a moment. Moritz, we talked on episode number 158. I calculated this morning it was 7 months ago. We talked about your history as a serial founder of bootstrapped SaaS products. Would you like to remind us of what you've done and what you're doing?
Yeah, sure. I bootstrapped two SaaS products, which were called MapParser and DocParser, as a solo founder, bootstrapper. And I was lucky enough to be able to sell both of them to Joseph Capital. And so today I'm building my third bootstrapped SaaS business, which is called Refiner.io. Before all that, I was working in a venture-backed startup as a CTO, and I already had another startup going on like 10 years ago. But well, when I get asked, I talk about those three and today about Refiner.io.
Okay, and Refiner.io, what does that do? Who is it for?
Yeah, Refiner.io is a customer survey solution. So, I mean, there are hundreds of survey solutions out there in the market. My approach is that I say Refiner is a survey solution built for SaaS companies. So it's a very specific type of surveys, notably in-app pop-up surveys, which you can show inside your SaaS app, which will allow you to ask two or three really short questions to your users of your app.
Isn't it amazing how when you started with MailParser was the first one, right?
Yeah.
You started this 10, 15 years ago?
Not that much. 2014, that makes it 7 years.
Seven years.
Yeah.
Even perhaps then, it wasn't possible to survive with such a narrow niche as what you're doing. But now the market is so huge and there's so many competitors that you can like choose a niche and make it really work with a very specific thing like you're doing.
Yeah, especially if you are looking at the tech world that is changing all the time. And as I said, there are lots of survey softwares on the market, but these were built 10 years ago or 5 years ago when SaaS wasn't a big topic yet. And so today you have more and more SaaS companies and they are not really finding the survey solution which was built for them. And so basically I'm not reinventing the world, but I'm just making sure that the ever-changing market has the tool which is up to date and good for them today.
Now, you said that this was bootstrapped, but I think I need to ask you the hand in your bootstrapped badge. Information has come to light, Moritz. Would you like to tell us what happened?
Yeah, I can tell you what happened. I took a small investment from Earnest Capital.
You did what?
I did, and it's a bootstrapper-friendly investment. So if you like, I can hand in my imaginary bootstrapper badge, but it would make me really sad because I would still feel like I belong more into the bootstrap world than I would belong into the, let's say, the VC-backed rocket ship unicorn world.
So tell us about this investment and how it differs from VC, venture capital.
Yeah, sure. So what Earnest is offering is, I guess, in traditional terms, some kind of seed investment. So the check size, I would say, is between 100,000, and I don't know about the upper limit, but it's reasonable sized investments, and we're not talking about millions and all this kind of stuff. So their promise is that you can get this kind of investment without changing the trajectory of your company. And by that, I mean, usually if you would take VC money, that would mean that the the VC who gives you the money expects you to become a really big company, like a unicorn, ideally, because this is how their model works, right? And it's not bad, but it's just the way they are operating. And as I don't want to build a billion-dollar company, this kind of investment was never really something I would consider because it's just not a good match. And again, the promise of earnest is that they give you a small investment and they basically let you continue operate the way you operate. And they don't expect you to raise again another round and then maybe do an IPO one day or and so on. So it's what I would say a bootstrapper compatible investment. And this is why I looked into that. And I think, so. I mean, we can talk a little bit more about what came after, but so far I would say it was a good choice.
Okay. Without talking about the specifics of the investment they took in you, my research has said they take something like about 10% ownership of the company in return for their investment. So if they give you $100,000, they value your company in $1 million. And they often do that just when companies are just doing a few thousand in MRR, in monthly revenue. Mm. So it can be quite nice at that stage to get so much extra cash there. And you sit, and you're saying that there's no expectation that then in a year's time or 2 years' time, they want you to be acquired or to take more investment.
No, there's no expectation. I cannot confirm the numbers you just mentioned because I'm not that much into their model that I would say what exactly the numbers is, but I can confirm in my case it's somewhere there. It's a low double-digit percentage for, in my case, $200K US dollars. So what they are, they publish a lot of stuff on their website about their thesis, but I guess what they're all about is that they say even if you make the bet that my company would make them a return of 3 or 5 times the investment, it would still work out for them pretty well because they make investments in companies which are having a pretty low risk to completely fail. And this, again, is a little bit different than the usual venture capital model where it's basically you make big bets and there's a high risk of failing. But if you don't fail, there's a high return. And what their approach is, I guess, more like, well, we take smaller risks, so there's a higher probability that there is some kind of ROI for them. And so they are okay with having a multiple of, let's say, 3 or 5 or 10 over a period of the lifespan of my company. And so basically their terms in a nutshell are whenever I pull money out of the company,
like dividends,
or I sell the company. And this doesn't include my salary. I can still pay myself a salary. But whenever I pull out a decent amount of money from my company, I'll give them a share of that. And this is what they call the shared earnings agreement. So this is what they are operating on. It's basically they say, you do whatever you want, but we know that one day you might want to pull out money of it, either through an acquisition or by having bigger dividends. And in this case, they're going to participate.
Okay.
And if I don't do that, if I say, okay, I changed my mind, then their investment would convert into a, let's call it a traditional investment. So they would say, for example, I changed my mind and I take a Series A, so there's another investor coming in. In this case, they would say, okay, then let's just consider this was some kind of normal investment and we will convert it into shares.
Usually. For people not used to thinking these terms, I'm going to try to explain it as I best understand it. So let's say your company's earning $500,000 a year in revenue. We'll talk about dollars, even though you and I usually think in euros. You'd pay yourself an annual salary of $100,000. You have expenses of $100,000 paying freelancers and server hosting and whatever. So you've now got $300,000 in profit. That's after your expenses, after your own salary. Of that $300,000 in the high tax regimes we live in, about a quarter of that goes as company tax. I don't know what it is in France, but that's what it is here in Spain. So out of that $300,000, the profit after tax is going to be, in my head, well, it's a little bit under $200,000. And if you're taking a dividend out of that, of the whole amount that's left, they get like 10% or whatever their level is. That more or less is how it works out?
That's more or less how it works. Even though you need to say, depending on how you want to operate your company, you need to make sure that the thresholds and the numbers and the percentages fit your model. For example, if you say, I'm actually not planning on putting out any money for now, which is usually the case in a startup, I mean, then you wouldn't pay anything for them to them. So this is basically the first thing which made it possible for me, because I said, well, I want to pay myself a salary, which is decent. And because we're living in Europe, we have high expenses, but it's not that I want to really pull out a huge salary. So on this, I don't pay them out any shares. It's just like it's defined in our contract that there's some kind of base level salary, which I can pay myself without having those shares.
Oh, okay. So you can't just simply up your salary to effectively take all the profit of the company so that they get nothing. You actually have an agreement about how much you can pay yourself.
Exactly. Okay. But we came up with this together. So basically I told Tyler from Earnest that this is what I would like to pay. And he was totally fine. And it was actually lower than what they suggested.
Okay. So now this is 3 or 4 months since this happened. Mm-hmm. What has Earnest's involvement been so far? Have they really just, as promised, stood back and done nothing and that you keep doing things the way you wanted? Or do they expect you to do monthly updates, anything like that?
It's a mix. They want to see monthly updates. And I think that's just really a sane way of running your company. So this is, for me, that's a good exercise to every month, in the beginning of the month, sit down and just write down an email, what happened, where I want to go and where I'm at. And what I like about Earnest is that they can be really hands-off, but you can also get involved. It really depends on you. So in practical terms, it means there's a pretty active Slack group. And whenever I have a question or I have a demand, what they are there, and the team is pretty reactive. But if I don't have anything to discuss, I don't need to participate in any kind of stuff. And frankly, like I like it that way, because I mean, there are other alternatives on the market. Some of them are cohort based, where you do stuff together in a group. And while I think that's super valuable, it's not actually something I want to do right now. Maybe connected to the fact that I'm turning 40 or whatever, and I'm a little bit older, or I did it already before. I don't know. But right now, what I'm looking at was basically an easy, nearly hands-off way of receiving an investment and with good terms and paying it back over time without any pressure. And this is exactly what they allowed me to do. So,
okay. Yeah. Moritz, tell me how you were feeling before you took the investment and what those feelings you had that caused you to actually inquire about getting this investment. Do you recall much what led you to do that?
So when I started Refiner already 2.5 years ago, more or less, when I started building it, it was pretty clear to me that this time I want to go faster than before. And by faster, I mean, I wanted to invest more resources into marketing and then hiring and so on than what I did before in the businesses. And one way of doing that was to invest some of my own money first. And this allowed me to start marketing right from the beginning, even though there was no income yet. And just be a little bit more efficient when it came to outsourcing stuff. And for me, the previous acquisitions of DocParser and MayParser gave me this luxury that I could do that and not think about any kind of investment until there was a product which actually had revenue. And so basically, I bought myself the freedom to say, I don't need to get an investment on really difficult terms right in the beginning where I would give away 1/3 of my company and so on. But I had the luxury to work on my business it took me a long time to come actually to the first revenue. All this without a salary, but still working full time and being able to hire contractors thanks to my own money. But for me, it was always either this business takes off really quick, and so I can stop investing my own money, or I need to get an investment, because there's just a certain amount of own money you want to put in your company. Because I mean, from practical terms, for sure, you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. But for me, it was also if I put too much of my own money in this company, I might not think objective enough anymore, because you're so invested with it, and it's become such an emotional thing because it's your future in this company. And by having external investment, it kind of brings you on a very sane track where you basically see really like a business, an entity by itself. And this is what I was hoping for with this external investment. And I think it's really also happening in my head that I say, okay, like the risk is shared. If this goes sideways now, I basically, for sure, I lost my initial investment, but it's not a big deal. It's not the end of the world. And didn't really actively look for an investment right from the beginning, but it was always an option. And it was beginning of the year. It was the right time for me because Refiner was at the place where it was generating revenue and it was on a really nice trajectory. And so it was obvious that this is not failing anymore, but it will become bigger and bigger and bigger. And at that time, it took me already 1.5 years to get to this point because I went through a PIVO and there was a time where it took me a long time to get to this revenue. And so I didn't feel like investing more of my own money. So it was the perfect moment to have somebody like Ernest coming in and just accelerate what I'm doing right now.
Okay, excellent. And when you were signing, I guess there was paperwork to sign, or at least the e-sign. Do you remember the thoughts going through your head as you were actually making that irreversible commitment when you were signing the paperwork? Was there a little bit of reluctance or last minute remorse?
Yeah, definitely. You always have this moment, but it was more like the days before, to be honest. Like, yeah, I talked through with my peers here, with colleagues and with my wife. And then also, so I was pretty sure that this is the right thing to do. And no, but it's also important to think it through in the beginning. What helped as well is, again, that I had already some success with my previous companies. This puts you a little bit in a position where it's like, it's not a end of the world kind of scenario anymore. You know, it would be really too bad if this goes sideways, but it's not like, I mean, it's like if you buy your first apartment or if you sell your first company, these are so huge events and it's so stressful. But once you do it again and again, it becomes a little bit more, I mean, it stays stressful, but you can, I don't know, like qualify it a little bit better. You can say, okay, yeah, it's stressful, but it's going to be over and it's going to be fine. And one thing I should probably mention is I know Tyler from Ernest since a couple of years, actually. We met at a conference and we were exchanging emails and we were talking here and there. So there was some kind of trust relationship with them.
Okay, just to clarify, Tyler is Tyler?
The general partner of Ernest Capital.
Okay, you did mention him earlier. Tyler Tringas, I think his surname is.
Exactly.
Okay, so you had already had some sort of personal connection with the owner, so he trusted, didn't have to do the full due diligence.
Well, he's pretty well known on and pretty open with everything they do. So one of their core principles is being open and public. So basically whatever they do, also their terms, for example, they are openly visible on their website. And they were developing these terms as well openly. And I think most of his, like one of his most important assets is reputation. So I felt like in good hands there because it's in his interest to have everything goes well. And it's in my interest that everything goes well. I didn't feel too nervous about that, to be honest.
Did you consider any other approaches for taking investment, such as the traditional friends and family investment or contacting people you knew directly who had money that they were able to invest rather than going through a fund?
Yeah, not that much, to be honest, because of two reasons. I have one friend who tried to raise an angel round by contacting friends and friends and family, and it proved to be a lot of trouble, a lot of overhead, legally speaking, but also just organizing all this. And I think my theory there is that usually there needs to be one lead investor who's making the call. They will do that. And then there will be other angel investors following, maybe because the due diligence was made by somebody who's doing this professionally. But if I just go to a friend or a colleague and say, look, you can put this kind of money in my company, they would need to do their due diligence and they would feel like pressured and don't know. And I don't know. I just didn't want to put anyone of my friends in this position, first of all. Secondly, I like to separate definitely family and friends from my business.
Smart move.
Yeah, I don't know. Like for me, that's like not something I would like to mix. And so this friends and family money was not really a topic for me. And then when I launched Refiner, I got contacted pretty heavily by various VC funds. And the discussion was always the same, basically, like they like what I do. And we were talking, but then it came to, okay, where do you want to go with this company? And then I was saying, look, I want to make a decent size company, but I don't want to go to Silicon Valley necessarily. And I don't want to build a $1 billion company necessarily. And then this is basically the end of the discussion, which is fine. Again, like it's their model. It's not my model. And that's okay. So the traditional VC option wasn't really there for me. And then there are definitely other options which are closer to what Earnest Capital does. I talked with a couple of them, but Earnest had the best terms. Okay. And they are also
worked for you.
Yeah, and they understand what I'm doing. And they, for example, there was one fund I talked to here from Europe, and I really need to explain like what kind of company I want to build and so on. And I felt like, okay, I mean, it's not their fault, but they just don't know this bootstrapper universe that well.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's a real lesson in positioning, not your positioning of your business, but positioning of the investment business. When they say this is where we stand and the type of business we want to go in, they've automatically carved out a space for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the actual process of selling a stake, was it a time-consuming process? Was it a distraction from the actual day-to-day work of running your business?
Not at all in my case. And this was also a really strong point for Earnest. So for example, I was talking with another similar fund, also well-known in the bootstrap world, and they wanted me to move the company to the US. And I mean, this was really a no-go for me because that's so much overhead for me, so much trouble right now. Like, I mean, I feel like accounting is already a topic in France, which is taking way too much time. And I just cannot imagine having yet another thing to handle and a company in a different country. And so real no-go for me. And besides that, I mean, I kind of like paying taxes where I live. I mean, that's some kind of, I don't know, not a citizen duty, but I didn't see any reason to move my profitable company away. And Earnest was okay with me staying a French company. And on top of that, they don't take shares in your company right now. It's what in investment terms, this is all often called a safe. A safe investment means basically you agree on a value of your company or upper
to clarify, realm. This safe here is not an adjective. Safe is an acronym.
It's an acronym, yes.
Yeah, I can't remember what it stands for. But yeah. I just to make sure listeners are not thinking about you're recommending this as a safe investment.
No. I don't do any investment advice here. I'm not a lawyer. It's simple agreement for future equity.
There
so it's just an agreement. And the same happened with Earnest. Basically, it's just a contract. It's really just a contract saying, if you sell one day, we want to have this and that. Or if you raise another round, this and this is will happening. So basically, in fairness, it's one of those deals where you get a new television and you need to pay for it later. Or like it's a little bit like you get the value now, but the payment is due later and the complexity comes later. And I think it's pretty smart because right now, like paying all the lawyers and so on to put them into the capital of my company. And all this would be a lot of overhead for what they put actually in the company. And there's also not a reason for it, because I mean, these terms are outlining very clearly what will happen when I do this or what will happen when I do that. So it's a contract, you sign it and you get the money.
So after you signed, the money arrived a day later, a week later, in a big lump sum into your bank account?
Yep.
Wow. How did you feel when you saw those numbers in the bank account?
Felt good. Felt like, okay, now I can execute on my plan. That was the idea. And
have you done that? Have you started spending that money in big ways?
I did spend money. I'm operating the company pretty much like I did before. And that was the idea. So I'm not having now a big, huge team place and then a fancy office in the center of Paris and so on. Everything stayed the same, but I just have more liquidity on my bank account and I can operate more freely and more, and I can do more long-term stuff. For example, I can invest more into SEO, content art for the blog, which is usually a marketing activity which pays back later and not right away. And for example, we are currently working on a new website, which will hopefully be online when this gets published. And I'm putting myself under pressure here. That's good. So for example, back in the days, I would have probably made the website mostly myself. And now I'm in the luxury position that I can look for a good designer and somebody helping me with the copy and so on and so on. So yeah, I'm executing on the plan. What it didn't do right yet, but I'm actively looking into it, is getting a lead developer for Refiner. And this is also where, this was basically the biggest reason why I wanted to have this investment, because as you know, developers are super expensive and I can look now for a good developer who ideally works on a level where I don't need to manage them in a sense that I need to spend as much time on a new specification as if I would develop it myself, for example. So what I'm looking for is like, yeah, a senior guy. And I mean, these people, they cost money. And for this, I can now use the investment.
Excellent. So already have you noticed that Refiner.io's velocity has increased? Has it had a positive impact already on your revenue growth?
I don't know. It did increase the velocity, but I don't think it's really due to the investment. It's more like I would say the investment, what I can do with the investment will be kicking in now or starting from now. For example, the new website is not online yet, or the developer is not hired yet. So, I mean, it's like how long? 4 months since I got it. And I mean, it's not that fast that you change your entire company within just like 2 days. Okay, you got the money and then you open up the fire hose and...
Yeah, this stuff always takes time. The things you're doing now show the results in 6 months or a year's time.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see in a year's time, if you look back at the charts of your revenue growth, if you can see an inflection point that you can tie into specific actions that you are able to kick off because of this investment.
Yeah, might be difficult to say, but what I can say is like it's allowing me to operate the company in a certain way.
Yeah.
For example, by hiring good contractors and working together with people on a certain level. And all this would have only be possible if I would have reinvested again of my own money. And I know this would have stressed me. And so I can just say there is a positive effect already, even if maybe if it doesn't reflect in the business growth, but it definitely reflects in my approach on more of my day-to-day life, let's say like this.
Well, you're looking very relaxed. I think you mentioned to me in a previous conversation also that this is your third time around, as we mentioned even in this conversation, and it can get boring just doing everything the same way each time. And it's good to try a different thing, in this case, taking a little bit of money, and so you can kickstart the thing, do outsource more or have employees earlier than you might have done otherwise.
That's exactly it. So that's also one reason why I took this investment, because I just wanted to step up the game a little bit. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to work on my own terms. I want to build a company I like. And this, again, is something I appreciate with Earnest. I don't have a lot of pressure from them. Somebody breathing down my neck, asking me tons of questions and being scared they might push me out of the company one day. It's, I think, all the negative parts of what you often hear about venture capital. I think people should not be too scared about it, but I guess there are negative parts about it, and I can avoid these while still having some of the positive parts, which is at least some kind of starter money. And for sure, it's not the same amounts that big VC would give me, but for what I want to do, it's enough.
Moritz, we're running out of time, so let's wrap already? It up. Yeah, already. It's great. It's when you're talking about interesting things, the time flies. Mm. Thanks again for coming on the show and being so open about what you're doing. It's something that I really am curious to know more about. People can find you where?
Befinder.io or Twitter, mdausinger, mdausinger. That's basically the two ways of finding
me. Okay, we'll have those. Have those links in the show notes. Okay, thanks again, Moritz.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, for inviting me, and have a good day.
You too. Bye, everybody.
Bye.